ask you to purify our hearts, cleanse us from anything that would be between us and you. I pray that you keep our mind focused on whatever you've got today for us. And I pray that we would forget about whatever's out there and the devil is so good at stealing our attention, wanting us to think or worry or be anxious about something else. Lord, for the next short while here, I pray that you just make everything perfect and just help us to focus. If you were here, may we sit at your feet and just worship and listen for what you've got for us. So Jesus, anoint this time, and I pray that you would speak to a heart that's wayward or someone that doesn't know you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse my heart, wash me clean, whiter than snow. Fill me afresh new with the Holy Spirit so that I can say what you want me to say. Make it an exciting new year for us. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad you're here today. When I looked up and there's only a few, I think, okay, where is everybody? And then they always come in, so you always come in. So, but don't forget, I'm excited about the new series that's coming up in a couple weeks. I guess sorry to be excited about that one before I get to it. And we're going to just go through some fundamentals. Liz is good about that. I appreciate that. Not everybody has to, but I can say something and she'll say, hey, you made it clearer today. And I like that. I'm afraid I'd always do that. If I can say something, you say, I've always wondered about, how about assurance of salvation? Or do I have to be baptized? Or do I have to do... Maybe we can just nail down some things. This is a reading chart. I made this one big for me. But anyway, you've got those over. All you got to do is just darken in a chapter as you read it. And 260 chapters later, you'll have the New Testament read. Now, some people say, well, I'd like to do the whole Bible. Let me just be honest there. Here's what usually happens. We start off with all the Bible, and we read through Genesis, get about halfway through. What's the next book after Genesis? Leviticus. Exodus goes first in Leviticus. Yeah. Genesis, so we get about halfway through Exodus, and then we suffer through that. We finally get into Leviticus, and it's just like, okay, and then we give up. Well, this right here will get you through. You read through the Gospels and Acts. At least we'll get something done. And I am bound and determined to defeat the devil. So I want you to get you a reading chart. I want us to go through a series called Believe. I want us to know the Bible better because it protects me. God loves us all the time. But, you know, he smiles, I think, when we read his word. He says, I've left you one book. Would you read it? And I want to do that. And the devil hates it when we read it. So let's do stuff the devil hates. Let's go ahead and read his word. We get protected when we do that. We get to be a better witness and all when we do that. So pray, read, whatever it takes this year. I want to be a good pastor and draw you closer. Title of today's message in here at the first of the year, Faith and Choices. Anybody remember a show that used to have three doors, three curtains? Remember that a long time ago? I think, I don't know if you remember it or not, but yeah. Lorraine, what was it?
Let's Make a Deal.
How many of you remember the television show, Let's Make a Deal, and they'd bring out Monty Hall, and people would be dressed weird, and he would pick somebody out of the crowd, and he would say, okay, do you want to do that? He'd give them some kind of game to play. They'd win a prize, but then he'd always say, okay, now do you want to what? Trade that in for something else. And it'd either be a box, or it might be three doors. It'd open up, and they'd trade in a TV set sometimes and open up the curtain, and it'd be a billy goat back there. And, you know, they'd wish, oh, I wish I'd have. So it was always a temptation to get more than what you got. Things haven't changed much, have they? We always want more than what we have. And so do you look at those three doors. If I said behind there, here's what, and offered you a choice, what do I do? Some of us are even thinking that for this new year. What do I do? Can I just, anybody ever heard about this? Joey, you probably played basketball in your time. Has your coach ever said this? Now, Joey! Or he would say Patterson, most likely. Joey played basketball. He was probably playing in college now too, but anyway. Has a coach ever said to you, yeah, let's go out there and be mediocre? No. Let's go out there and just maybe do the best you can. What'd he say, Joey? Let's go out there and what? We're going to win this thing. I don't care how bad my team ever was. I always had the notion I could win. I could be playing an undefeated team, and yet in my mind I thought anything's possible. And I had to convey that to my players. I've never once said, now, this team's probably going to kill us. Just try to get out of there alive. Do the best you can. I'm going to stay in the locker room. Y'all going out there. I've never done that. And I have, you know, we've actually surprised some people. Matter of fact, if somebody was undefeated, I'd actually think, guys, this is our chance. We can knock this team off and people will know that we're good. We always are good, but let's show them tonight. Well, Jesus, I think, says, okay, what do? I want to do my best. I don't want to go into it. I don't want this year to be average. Life is filled with choices. Do I move? Do I stay here? Where do I go to college? Who do I marry? Should I read or should I even get out of bed? And some of our choices are really important. Sometimes it's just so hard to know what to do. Today, let's take a closer look at some people in the Bible who made some choices and see what the outcome was. To introduce this, a boy once asked his father, he said, Dad, if three frogs were sitting on a limb that hung over a pool and one frog decided to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left on the limb? How many do you think? Well, here's what Dad replied, two. And the young man, no, son replied, there's three frogs and one decides to jump. How many are left? You're getting to it right there, yeah. The dad said, oh, I get it. If one decides to jump, the others would too. So there are none left. No, the little boy said this. No, Dad, the answer is three. The frog only decided to jump. Until he does, you can't count him. And that's just us. If you say, I am going to read the Bible through. I'm going to read the New Testament. I am going to, and you know what they say, talk is what?
Cheap.
We're going to, and sometimes we're scared. I probably offended some of you when you came in, the chairs were changed. What did he do? You know, there's nothing sacred about a chair arrangement. Okay? I coached at Charlottesville High School. And they let me coach JV football for some unknown reason. But anyway, you know who was on my staff on the JV football team at Charlottesville? You're looking at staff. I had no assistant. I did the whole team. They said, we're going to get you some help. Yeah, right. Must have been government aid or something because I never saw it. But anyway, I coached that entire team by myself. But I made them think we can win. We can do this. We are playing, and I'd build them up every week, and I would go after them. How many games do you think we won that year? We won none. I know. I'm a horrible coach. But my team was so small, I had to split them half and half to have a defense and an offense. I'd only work on the right side. I didn't have enough players to do the whole thing. But I made them guys believe that they could do stuff. And we played some very close games. But I can remember talking to the varsity coach. I said, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to run the Giles single wing. It's pretty effective. We're the fifth leading team in Poundland at that point. And one of the varsity coaches, assistant, still remembering John DeWeese, said, run the wing? We don't want to mess up what we got. The varsity had won one game in 2 years. And you don't want to mess that up? 0-10 one year and 1-9 the next. No, we don't want to mess up what we got, I thought. Except for that one game, y'all had a perfect season both times. And y'all, I think that's us sometimes. I don't know if I want to read through this. I don't know if I want to change what I'm doing. And if I said, Joe, how many chapters you read this week? None. How many did you read up? None. Yeah, wouldn't want to mess that up. I mean, what have you got to lose? Well, I might try this and fail. Okay, then start again. I've yet to find a Bible verse that says you can only try so many times. Matter of fact, Simon Peter, Jesus is trying to teach him about forgiveness. Said, Simon Peter, you know, how many times do you think you ever forgive somebody? And Simon Peter, being a righteous person, you had to at least, by Jewish law, usually you forgave people three times. What did Simon Peter say? How about seven? Jesus said, how about 70 times seven?
Wow.
I want you to do more than what you think you need to. I don't want to settle for average. I want to mess up what I've got. If Jesus gets me up at 6 o'clock, to pray. I finally give in to him this late. Did I really want to get up? No. So he uses a cat named Gray to come over and march on our head and say, it's 6:02, you need to go pray. Okay. Jeff's got a sense of humor, so Gray is my alarm clock. He lets me sleep till 6:30 sometimes, but I get up and I pray. The simple point is this. We can decide to do something, but if we don't follow through with that decision, then it doesn't really matter. Turn to Matthew in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. If you've got if you're using one of the blue Bibles that James is handing out, it is on page 685. 685. Anybody need a Bible? No. 685. We're going to turn to the first gospel. Y'all got enough praying power to go around and say, hey, pray that my nose will quit running. I don't have a cold ever since I got my tooth pulled. My sinus is messed up. So he took some skin and he cut a graft off my jaw and covered the gap with it. So now it no longer doesn't hurt. I can't breathe through that sinus anymore, which is good because I used to be able to breathe through my nose, through my tooth, and into my mouth. So he covered that up. But now my nose runs. And it's like, he said, you need to go see an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And when I find one of them on sale, I'll go ahead and go. But right now, I need my car, so I'm going to go ahead and I know it's going to be expensive, but you know what? I know the master physician. Why don't y'all just pray that he says, I'll heal you without going to that doctor. So if you get time this week, pray for your pastor. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read a few verses, and you probably recognize some of these verses. Starting with verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Then he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That is, they look like one thing, but they're really another. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. In other words, what I do tells you who I am. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, I can just hear people in the crowd, but hey, we did this, we did that. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, oh, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Hey, look at what all we did. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It's not our works, it says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Last couple verses to finish the chapter. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And pick this last point up here. Because he taught as one who had authority and not as the what? Their teachers of the law. All those Pharisees, they didn't have any authority. They just got up and babbled off some stuff, but they said, this guy is the real deal. Well, what are these things and how do they help us make some good choices? You'll notice there's two ways in this section of Scripture. There's a wide gate, many there be, which go in there, and a narrow gate, few that be that find it. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless you come through Jesus. There are so many different religions in the world that say that you can get to heaven without Jesus. Wrong. Boy, Andrew, you're pretty dogmatic. Yep. If I'd say anything but Jesus, that's a lie. Jesus says, I am the way, not one of many ways. And some people think, boy, y'all are bullheaded, dogmatic, narrow-minded. And to that you say, okay, yeah, I am. I cannot allow you to say that Allah is the same as my Jehovah. He's not. Well, everybody's got their own religion. What did he just now tell you? Not everybody that calls up and says, oh yeah, yeah, we're doing this and that. He said, what? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So there's going to be a wide gate. I mean, I just think it's even weird in music. There's a stairway to heaven, and there's a highway to hell. You know, that actually backs up what the Bible says. It's very narrow. Wow. People don't like us when we say that. Well, boy, who are you to tell me? And then they even say this. If I hear this one more time, I think I'm going to scream. Well, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Let's see. You do this and do that and name about 14 things and you say, but don't judge me. These Pharisees were about, these religious people were going to say the same to Jesus. Don't judge me. And Jesus says it this, while I'm not supposed to judge you. So James, I can't judge you. Matter of fact, the only person I'm supposed to judge, fellow Christian. Now, Joey, if you have a problem, I'm supposed to come use a brother and say, let me help you. Now, I owe it that to him. I can't judge the world. But I can't be a fruit inspector. You know? So if I'm a fruit inspector, and that's what Jesus says, if someone says, I am this certain way, don't judge them, but just look at their life and see if their words match their what? Their actions. Or their actions match their words. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit. So he talks about bearing fruit. And I heard the old preacher, I guess when I was growing up, that walks like a duck, talks like a duck, acts like a duck. It's probably a duck, you know. And if someone acts like the world, talks like the world, and lives in the world, and yet I'm a Christian, why are you having a... If you were put on trial, we'd probably have to let you go. Why? Lack of evidence. I want to make sure people know there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. Which one's easiest to get on? Obviously, the wide gate. That's why the world's in it. There's two trees he mentions right here. There's a good tree that conforms with scriptures, and there's a corrupt tree that conflicts with scriptures. In other words, false prophets. Revelation 13:11 will back that up. So if there's two trees, let's look right here. One tree will do what? Bear fruit. The other tree will not. By their fruit, you'll know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Of course not. Figs from thistles? No. Verse 17, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. I don't want you to say any names, but if you can think of it in the world where someone says, that person just seems like they're evil, they're bad all the time. I mean, the president or the leader of North Korea, good or bad, what do you think?
Bad.
Yeah, why? He's trying to kill everybody. Yeah, but he's probably a, you know, who knows? Now, don't judge him. He might follow God. I don't see how. So my actions, if I was your high school coach or if I'm a teacher and I just let words fly out of my mouth, they sometimes, well, he's got a potty mouth. No, that's wrong. And yet I show up on church on Sunday, you would call me a what? A hypocrite. Man, you cuss like a sailor all week long, drive like a maniac, oogle every female going by you, and then stand up there on church on Sunday. I don't want to be around you. You're making us Christians look bad. And matter of fact, some people would actually say this, well, I don't want to go to church. The world uses this for excuse. I don't want to go to church because it's full of... So that I think, well, there's room for one more. Come on. You know, because you're probably one yourself. But, you know, they act like they're self-righteous there. I want my actions to back up what I say that I am. There's two ways, two trees. I don't know if you notice this, but there's two professions then. Those who know the Lord, the true repentant who seeks to do the Father's will. Matter of fact, if I mentioned correction, if I said, Virginia, this would probably help you grow, she'd say, tell me what it is. I really want to. I have other people, if I'd say that to, don't preach at me. Wow. If I said, Perry, as a fellow believer, let me tell you, oh, okay, go right ahead. Christians tend to, again, safety used to many athletics, but if someone was pretty good and they wanted to get better and I told them how to get better, they would probably listen to me. Because the best, or even want to get better, they just want to keep going. And it's funny how those are, don't tell me what to do. I have students like that, let's see, your average is almost failing. I mean, I don't need your help. You need somebody's help. Tends to be the same way spiritually. Those who know the Lord, the truly repentant, they want to seek that. They'll take godly advice. There's really three ways you grow. You read your Bible, you listen to godly counsel, and you pray a lot, and God will put things on your heart. Those who use the Lord, professors but not possessors, they profess they know the Lord. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, it talks about, we've covered this a long time ago, but it talks about, remember, your words should match your actions. You know, we're coming through the book of James. I'll jump over here and read that verse to you. But it talks about, bottom line, do your words back up who you are? James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed. His life will start to change. He'll be blessed at what he does. See, if y'all remember, a long time ago when we were covering the book of James, so many people look in the mirror and they do what Fonzie did on Happy Days. He takes out his comb and he looks and goes, hey, and puts it back in his pocket, walks off and never does a thing. And some people will walk into churches today and they will hear something and they'll walk right out, as someone was like, glad I got out of there, I feel uncomfortable. I don't like that. I don't like people to, but it's for your own what? It's for your own good. Tell me what I need to do. I'd rather you tell me now than me be in hell when you, oh, I wish you'd have said something. I felt bad the other day. I had three maintenance workers going to where I was in the science room, in the science office. And I started talking to them, mentioning church and stuff. And they left, and I thought, ugh! I had three books of John in my book bag right there. And there was three workers. And I thought, right there's three chances. And I missed that. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Bring them in again this week. I only give out one this week. You know, I want to try to, that's my personal goal. I want to try to give out, if I would give out one book of John a week, I'd give out 50 this year. If all of us would do that, how many would we hand out? I mean, just step out of the comfort zone. I don't want to do that. Well, there's two foundations. Finally, like this. There's a rock, the Lord's unchanging word, and there's a sand, the world's ever-changing opinion. Do you want to know what's right in the world? If then some people would say, Benjamin, check the news, because guess what? It may have what? Since yesterday. May have changed. Can't do that. This is an ever-changing world. So if this is a solid Bible in an ever-changing world. Let me read you this one. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, puts them to use, chapter 7, verse 24, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Obviously, who's the rock in our life? That's Jesus Christ. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and they beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. When I was about 8 years old, I can still remember the phone ringing, and I probably shared this, but bear with me. And that was a phone call my mom had got to tell me that my oldest brother Gene had died. Oh, it's a good thing we were on a rock. Because when mama come into the bedroom, I pulled a head, you know, sheet over that. Tim was at Boys State and had to come back from Williamsburg about the second week of July. Matter of fact, Gene's brother is January 17th. Is that right? This month? Okay, Gene, when is it? Okay, 19th. So I'm talking to the man who never met his dad, but you will one day. But I didn't want to hear that. Now, most people could have just fell off and let's just go back. No, we've got to have a faith. And it will give it. Jump forward many years later, my mama is about ready to get into heaven, and she says, oh, I didn't see Gene again. And she's smiling. What kind of faith you got there? Not on sand. Some people, I've had. I don't want to put up this church anymore. Wow. What are you giving up on God for? Well, he let me down. I drove a boy one time, started talking to him. You can preach to him better in the car because you only got two. And I started to talk to somebody, and he said, you know, I said, why don't you come to church? Are you getting there? He said, I don't want to go to church. Don't want anything to do with God. He took my grandfather. I said, how old was your grandfather? 93. Wow. Probably needed the rest. You know. So you still mad at God?
Yep.
93. I hope I make it that long. But some people just get one thing and then they don't want to hear you anymore. Please don't be, you know, the one that builds his house on the sand, because when a trial hits, I'll just give up. The rain came, streams rose, winds blew, beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. By the way, what made me feel real confident when I grew up in that brick house in Johnson? I knew the builder, that's my daddy. If you know the builder of the rock, you know that? Yep, makes me a lot more confident. But you will be the one that says, it's all right. Everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice like a foolish man. See, because I know what to do. You're going to be like that frog. I've decided I'm going to do this. I just never get around to it. You're going to build your house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And when people have things go wrong, they suddenly don't like life anymore. There are two different ways or gates, but only one true leads to eternal life. There are two different trees of prophets, but only the ones with the good fruit are of God. You keep saying, well, I'm a this or that. If I don't see some fruit, I don't want to call you a liar, but proof's in the pudding. Remember that old saying? There are different professions, two different professions, but only one possession. You can tell the people that are really... I used to think, well, if I said the right thing, have I done it right? Jesus just reminds me. Do you have me? Yes, sir. Then that's all that matters. I don't know what you said to get saved. All of us, we might say, Jesus, would you forgive me? Lord, wash me clean. Whatever you, if you got Jesus, it's fine. Quit nitpicking. That's the devil trying to fret or worry you. There are two different foundations, but only one will stand. Consider these two leaders who gave their listeners a choice. One of them's Joshua and one of them's Elijah. And they ask, both remind us we must choose which side we're on. So I finally ask you to look at these two. If you think that the preacher is preaching at you when he says, choose this or choose that, say, wow, or any other choices. Elijah, you don't have to turn to it, but in 1 Kings, Elijah had a situation on his hand. And he had to either put up or, what's the old expression? Shut up. So he says, okay, I will take your challenge. I'm going to offer a challenge. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah says there's a lot of false prophets around. We're going to have what Gunsmoke would call a dun, 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 dun. Remember that? It would always start with Matt Dillon shooting. He must have killed 100 people because he shot one every week during that thing. But anyway, he's going to have a showdown. Here it is. Gary Cooper starting a movie called High Noon. Well, this is High Noon at Mount Carmel. High Noon at Mount Carmel. Verse. This is 19. I'll back it up to 18. I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. I'm not a troublemaker. That's what he'd been accused of being. But you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. What's he doing right here? He's offering what? This is it. Matter of fact, he even kicks it up and I'll offer you a challenge. What's he going to do? He's thrown down the gauntlet. He has, what do you want? Your expression there, but he's challenged him to a duel. He's bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. In other words, you go back and you get 850 people. Bring them all. So Ahab accepted the challenge. Now remember what I said out of James. It's easy to talk the talk, but you better be able to walk the walk. And Elijah's about ready. He's been talking the talk. Let's see if his walk backs up what he says. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel, assemble the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? What's he doing right here? You going to be on the sand or are you going to be on the solid rock? You going to be this professor or are you going to be this possessor? You going to be and you just keep the trees and there's only two choices. How long are you going to keep wavering between the two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Could you make it any more simple? In other words, either for God or what? I'm like here in the middle. No, you're not. Either for him or against him. The people said nothing. You know why? Because I think they're getting their toes stomped all over the place. This is the first person that's challenged him. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one, a little bit of exaggeration there. There are some more people that hadn't bent the knee there. I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut into pieces and put it on the wood. But not set it on fire. Don't do that. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. And then you call on the name of your God. I'll call on the name of my God, the Lord. The name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, He is God. Is that a challenge? The people said, okay, deal. What you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls, prepare it. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull, gave it to them, prepared it. They called on the name of Baal, false god, from morning till noon. What's morning? What's morning? 8 o'clock?
Sunrise.
They've at least been at this 3 or 4 hours. I think, like Chris said, I believe they've been out there about 6 hours. And they're calling on God for 6 hours. Their God. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there was no response. I wonder why. Because there's no God. No response. No one answered. They danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. This is where I'd probably be a little bit different, Elijah. You've already thrown down the glove. You've already sort of smacked them in the cheek. You've challenged them. Now he's going to make fun of them. Now he taunts them. He says this, shout louder. Ooh. Surely he's a god, or perhaps he's in deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. You're using sarcasm right here, Elijah. What's the odds? 850 to 1. I wouldn't be, that's sort of like going into a motorcycle game saying, y'all want to mess with me? You know, I mean, it's like, I would not say that to these, but you're full of faith. Y'all want to do something about this? Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom. What's that mean? That means they always do that. It's a normal time of prayer. Until their blood flowed. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no sacrifice for sins. If it's not our blood that pays for the sin. Somebody's got a... Many false religions say you feel like you have to be punished. Well, that's what they must believe. Midday passed. They continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening service. They have probably been at this from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening. But there's no response. No one answered. No one paid any attention. Then Elijah said to the people, stand back. Takes off the big trench coat, lays it down. Walks up. You know what I've been thinking right here?
Joe, you scared?
You're lying. You scared?
Watch this.
I don't know. There's a streak in me. If I said, watch this. Turn around. Oh, God, don't fail me. I was playing first base. And the guy said, you better back up. I'm going to cut you in two. He's a lefty. And I said, bring it on. I caught it right off the ground. Tagged the bag, threw it back to the pitcher. And I turned on it. He was cutting me in two with that right there. Is that all you got? Make them think you're strong, yeah. Elijah steps out. This is it. And he tells them, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, repaired it, hadn't been used. Which was in ruins, hadn't used that in a long time. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord comes, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seeds of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water. Now, it's been a drought, so whenever they found the water and spread it and poured it on the offering on the wood, when you don't have a lot of water, and he's going to put it out there. Some people said, don't waste it. Do it again, he said. They did it again. Do it a third time. Soak that wood. The water ran down the altar and even into the trench. And at the time of sacrifice, it's game time. This is it. High noon. The prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel. And I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts. There it is, turning your hearts. Take out that heart of stone, give the heart of flesh, turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Elijah had just now won that battle. Stand on firm foundation? Absolutely. Words true? Absolutely. Where are you?
Well, I'll offer you one final thing that Joshua said to the people.
Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. I got this verse. It's nailed on my kitchen door, matter of fact, so I can be reminded of it when I go out. Joshua's going to give you something, and I want to offer you the same thing before we close today, and here it is. Joshua's about to die. To ripe away, I think he's 110. He's getting ready to die. Chapter 24, verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods," it's like he's Baal, same thing. "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." Verse 15. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," hey, that's your choice, "then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. I don't care what you do." Read that last line with me. "But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." I might be the only one in this community that does, but I will. I will. So if someone says, "Oh, if you don't know, everybody at Salem's going to turn against you," I will. I've got to stay true to Him. So be the only, if no one else at Salem is, you know, but Brett's going to stand up and do it. If no one else says, you do it. So you don't understand, I'm the only person here. Andy told me the other day, he had his first counseling session, somebody come in very bitter, and in other words, hating life, and what they are, they're standing on the sand, and he tries to tell them about the rock, and some people don't want to hear that. Other people, well, you know, maybe I'll try, but maybe, let me just wait and think. Some people, all right, I've decided. But once you do it, you're like the frog still on the line. Joshua says, "Okay, you do what you want to. But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." Fortunately, listen to their response, verse 16. The people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods." They would never do that. "It is the Lord your God Himself who brought us and our forefathers out of Egypt and from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who live in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that the simplicity of this message isn't lost just in that. It's so simple we just look right over it. Lord, so often there's two foundations, there's two trees, Lord, there's people that profess and there's people that really possess. Lord, I want to bear fruit like the good tree. I want to stand on the rock. I want to be the wise man and not just guess and use my own hope or ingenuity. Lord, it's all You. There's so many people that don't think there's only one way to heaven. And Lord, I pray today that we'd see that a little bit clearer. And then it finally comes down to this. There was a choice offered by Joshua. Whom will you serve? Lord, we'll all serve somebody. We'll either serve Jehovah God or we'll just, perhaps we serve ourselves or we serve others and the fact that we try to be a crowd pleaser. Jesus, help us to put You first in our lives today. Help us to start off this brand new year with the simple thought of knowing that You're a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we cling to You. And then when the reins of life come, when we lose a loved one or lose a job or we don't know our way, we still got a rock to be planted on. We don't have to throw our hands up despair and wonder, what do we do? God, we've got to cling to You. I pray that this would be the year that we do. Pray that we'd grab hold of You and never let go. Lord, You brought us through some trials this past year. Thank You for doing that. And I pray, Jesus, that we can take on this next year with hope because You are the hope that we have. We are not a people who have no hope if we have You. So thank You, Jesus, that You speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.